Welcome to the Holy Smokes Podcast, a show about faith, friendship, fine tobacco, and drink. I'm Steve Ryder in Madison, Wisconsin, still in Dave Bechtold's home lounge. And I'm interviewing Mark Bendorf.
Yes.
Mark?
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the Holy Smokes Podcast.
Thank you.
All right, first question, what you smoking?
Oh, I have to look now. And I might even have to put my glasses on. Earlier, my first one today, I had a Nika Rustica.
Yeah.
By Drew Estates, which was one of my go-tos.
One you gifted me for that very first one where we did the chapter feature about Madison and what you guys are doing here.
Correct.
And that was a hell of a stick, dude. I liked that a lot. That was really good.
They are often a go-to for me. And this one is a Judge Wright that I've never had, and I am enjoying it. I'm not sure who makes it, but it's a good, nice stick.
Mark, where did you grow up? I assume you grew up in Wisconsin.
I did. Yeah, I grew up right here in Madison.
Okay.
Not far from Camp Randall, where the Badgers play their football games.
I love that area of town. It's right beautiful. By the stadium. I remember my dad telling me when he was in college, he lived right across the street.
Sure.
From Camp Randall and shared a house right. with some roommates
before Crazy he got Lakes married. Drive.
Oh, man. That campus is just special. It is. A couple of years ago, my former pastor, he was my pastor at the time, but now my former pastor, because he moved back to Texas and is focused on the startup, we decided to start doing a yearly guys trip. And it's all centered around a Packer game and some other event. It's all centered around a football game, an NFL game, and some other event. Could be a college game. I mean, we did a minor league hockey in Kansas City one time when we were in Kansas City. But I remember on Saturday we had nothing going on because the Badgers were playing at Michigan that day. And I took them down to the campus and we walked around. And I drove them around town and they were like, Steve, I now understand why you talk about Madison the way in which you do.
Yeah.
This is a special campus. And they're like, we got to come back here when it rotates back to your team. Right. We got to come back here and go to a Badger game. And I was like, absolutely. It's a great experience.
Yeah. I grew up probably four blocks from there. And I remember parking cars as a kid. All those streets, Adams, Madison, Jefferson, all those streets down there have alleys through the backyards of each house on the different blocks or whatever. And we would route the cars up and park them in our backyard and
collect the money.
Collect the $3 or a dollar or whatever went back in the 80s, early 80s, late 70s when the Badgers weren't doing so good. We didn't get a lot, but it was for a 10, 11-year-old kid to have 25, 30 bucks in his pocket was always fun. Young entrepreneur, you know.
So what kind of home did you grow up in?
I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was Free Methodist, and my mom was Lutheran. And when my folks moved to Madison, they went to a Presbyterian church. So they're hybrids.
Now, before, when I first got here, this is the third interview that we're recording, but when I first got here, we started talking a little bit about our families, and you mentioned your dad grew up in Platteville, and he's 80 years old.
Yep.
My dad grew up in Platteville and is now 80 years old. And
I've got a feeling they went to school together.
I'm looking forward to getting home. And what's your dad's first name?
Irv.
Irvin. All right.
Irvin Bendorf.
All right. I'm going to have to ask Dad. Hey, Dad, when you were in high school growing up, did you know an Irvin Bendorf? And see what that pulls out of him, because I want to say it was 10 years ago. No, it was probably 15 years ago. I remember the boys were really young. That my grandma would come out to Colorado occasionally. She was in her late 80s, and she would come out to Colorado probably once a year, spend some time with us. And I remembered on one of those trips, I took her to Focus to interview her and get her story because I wanted to have her voice around sure. after she was gone. And I wanted to capture these stories while she still had the cognitive ability. She hadn't started to express dementia at that point, but she did 10 years later, mm-hmm. right before she died. And I've started doing the same thing with my dad. And so I've just been capturing these stories and his childhood. And it's something I'd really recommend for everyone that's listening. You have a phone, it's got a voice recorder. Get those stories recorded because you never know when they're going to be gone. It could be something sudden. Because once they are gone, you'll never have that chance again. And I'm really interested to see if, when I tell him Irvin Bendorf,
yeah,
if he has any new stories that I got to pull out right. this recorder and right. and get recorded.
Yeah. My dad grew up on a farm in between Livingston and Platteville and maybe Cobb.
So which direction is Livingston from Platteville?
I don't know. Livingston, let's see, Platteville, maybe it'd be north.
Okay.
Livingston okay. would be north of Platteville.
Okay.
Yeah.
So grew up in a Christian home. Siblings?
Yeah, I have one sister that's a year older than me, and then I have a sister that's 4 years younger than me. And they all live in Madison.
Really?
Yeah. So I get to see them quite often. I actually live across the street from my parents right now, and my kids are able to go to Grandpa and Grandma's house regularly.
So what kind of a kid were you growing up?
Introverted, shy. I enjoyed my small group of friends that I had and did things with them often, would go to movies, but fairly shy. That's the biggest part of it, I guess.
Do you have any activities that you did, like any sports?
I was on the Badger swim team, which was a youth swim team, not for the Badger, not for UW Wisconsin, but
yeah.
So I enjoyed a lot of swimming at the Natatorium. Swam at the Natatorium right on UW campus.
And what'd you do after high school?
I graduated high school in June. And
which high school did you go to?
I went to Madison West.
Okay.
And
that's a cool area. I really like that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You got Edgewood College not that far yep. away, and the west side.
Yep.
Before, you know, Middleton really kind of exploded, that was
right.
the west side of town.
Yeah.
It's got a great feel.
Yeah. Vilas Park is right there, and Vilas Zoo is right there. And I remember riding my bike through the alleys and riding down and going fishing in Lake Wingra. And it was a fun place to grow up, for sure.
And one of the things I love about the zoo, Henry Vilas Zoo, it's free.
Yeah,
it's always been free. And,
yeah,
and
still
I know,
is.
Yep. I know the St. Louis Zoo is also free. Mm. And obviously with that big of a metropolis, you can have all that money that you can raise. But right. for Madison, the Henry Vilas Zoo is solid.
Yes.
And I love that it's free because I can go anytime I want.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you can get a membership and you can, you know, have unlimited then when you do a membership at many zoos.
Yeah.
Like in Colorado Springs and Denver and Milwaukee. But there's something magical about a free zoo that just, it feels like it's meant to be here for the community,
mm-hmm.
not meant to be a destination. It's meant like it's there to serve the community.
Yes.
Which is really kind of the ethos of this area.
Yes. It was awesome to be able to get on my bike and just ride through and see whatever I wanted to see, get off my bike and walk through some of the different buildings. And I was always impressed with the snakes and the amphibians and all that good stuff, and riding down around the where the primates were, and it was a good time. Going fishing in Lake Wingra, and yeah.
So after high school?
After high school, I joined the Marine Corps.
Did you?
Yeah. So I was in the Marine Corps, went to boot camp in San Diego.
How big of a culture shock was that for you in growing up in this area? Did you travel a lot as a kid?
Not a lot. We went on some family vacations, but one was to California. And
okay.
We had a stopover in Las Vegas and different cabins and stuff like that that my folks were would be invited to from friends and stuff like that up into northern Wisconsin, and that was always fun, but not a lot of major traveling.
Yeah.
As a kid, we went to Florida. I remember a trip to Florida once, and so we always did something in the summer.
How long were you in the Marine Corps?
I was in for 3 years. I went to boot camp in San Diego, school in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune, and then was on a plane and headed to Iwakuni, Japan for a year. And while I was there, I went to the Philippines and I went to South Korea.
Wow. And after you got out, what'd you do?
After I got out, I got a job as a cook in a local Howard Johnson's restaurant.
Here in Madison?
Here in Madison, yeah, right on Johnson Street, not far again from Camp Randall. Yeah, and did that for about 4 or 5 years, and then worked at a local deli. So I've got a lot of cooking experience in my background, and I enjoy cooking and eating. And sharing my food. I enjoy it. One of my love languages would be hospitality and always having food involved in it, parties and friends over and that kind of stuff.
So I remember when we talked, you became a union painter. So did you transition from that service into painting, or was there something that kind of bridged?
No. Again, right on Monroe Street, 3 blocks from where I grew up, was a local bank, and my sister worked at the bank there and had a friend of hers that worked there, and there were a couple of local guys, Pageum Painting. Their dad and uncle owned the business, and I remember my sister's friend at the bank saying, "You should go talk to these guys." And I'm like, I remember my dad was in real estate, and he would always have to go and paint these apartments and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Long story short on that, I ended up talking to those guys, and I started working for them as a pre-apprentice. And they said, if you like painting and if we like you, we'll put you through the apprenticeship program. Hmm. So I went through the whole union apprenticeship program for painting.
Really?
Yeah.
How old were you when you made that change?
I was 27 years old or so then. So, yeah.
Now, you're still painting, right?
I'm still painting, yeah.
Your own business or working for someone?
Yeah, I have my own painting business now. I do drywall finishing and texturing and painting, mostly residential, but some light commercial apartments and stuff like that. Just what I didn't want to do or what I didn't think I wanted to do, I now do, and I enjoy it. It's a fun trade, and I enjoy going into people's houses. I probably go into close to 80 different houses in a year, and I just get to make people happy. They pick the color out, and I go in and change that, and then they put their new carpet in and new furniture, and they've got a whole new area, and I was part of it, and they're always pleased with what I do, and I enjoy what I do.
Hmm. Now, you were married at one point because you have
four kids. My oldest passed away 3 years ago, which is a story, of course, in and of itself, a very hard time. My son, Abraham, was 20 years old. He worked with me, and I miss him. It was just February 14th was the date of his, I like to call it his date of going to heaven. So we just had the 3-year anniversary and a celebration of life for him just a few days ago.
Before we started recording, and you talked about this a bit in the Holy Smokes chapter feature of Madison 2 episodes ago. There's a bigger story around that, and especially what's come out of that. Because you really blessed his friends and tried to shield them from feeling any guilt, and then have kept relationship with them. And it sounds like you're mentoring them and having an open relationship with them and trying to pour into their lives still. So let's talk about that, because it was a really traumatic day.
Right.
But let's go back to that.
Yeah. So 3 years ago, February 14th, I got a call late at night, about 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. I had just let my dog out to use the bathroom, and I came back in and I saw that I had a message, a text message from somebody, and I didn't even know the number. So I'm like, oh, I'll just go to bed. And next thing I know, I get a phone call, and it was my son's roommate's mother. And she said, there's a situation over here with Abraham, and you need to come over right away. And so obviously I was shocked. She did not say, thankfully, I guess, she didn't say what the outcome had been at that point, but it was a short, maybe 5 mile drive over to his house. And I drive up his street and I see probably a half a dozen squad cars there, no ambulance, so I wasn't completely alarmed.
But you also thought, oh no, what do you do?
But I was thinking, yeah, what in the world is going on here? And I go in the house, and there was a group of the roommates, two other roommates that he had, and then another group of, there was probably 4 or 5 other kids in the house too. And I said, what's going on? They said that Abe had passed. And I said, well, I got to go see him. I was obviously in shock. And they wouldn't let me go down the hall to his bedroom. He was in his bedroom. He had died in his bedroom. And I didn't know what to do, didn't know what to say. I got to see my son. Let me see my son. They wouldn't let me go back there for probably a lot of reasons, but they would not let me go back there. And so I had to make some phone calls.
Do you wish you would have, or are you glad they didn't?
That's a good question. I've thought about that many times, and I believe that they did not want me to see, to have me have a memory of him, however he was laid out or whatever it was. So I'm kind of glad they eventually let me back there. And
okay,
then it was,
so you did. So you were able to. Because
I was, yeah.
Because I found a great cathartic release when I got to Elizabeth's body in the hospital.
Sure.
I mean, I came unglued.
Yeah.
And I wept from places in my spirit that I had never thought I could ever access.
Yes.
And as painful as that was,
yeah,
it's a memory that is hard, yet I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. I needed to see him there. As horrible and horrific as it was, I needed to see him. But it was the memory I have etched in my mind is when the coroner came and they had to carry him out.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine. I'm so sorry,
that
bro.
That was hard.
Yeah.
And then, so there were, man, I don't know, there were probably 8 or 10 people in the house at that point. And all I could do is go up to those kids and just tell them, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. I just did not want to have those kids think in their minds for the rest of their lives, you know, the what ifs, or it's my fault. I did not want them to think that it was their fault that this happened. And so I loved on them, hugged on them. I called Abe's mom, and she didn't answer the phone. And so I called my next oldest son and said, you got to tell mom I need to talk to her. So then it was that, man, so it was probably 10:30, 11 o'clock when I got over to the house. And for the next probably 6 hours, I made phone calls to the people that I knew needed to know. And first and foremost, of course, was his mom. And I finally got a hold of her. My son Sam got a hold of her, woke her up. And then it was calling my folks. And so it was the hardest day of my life, for sure.
While we were talking before we started, you also said you did something special with his friends at the memorial service funeral.
Yeah.
At the gravesite.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, first, what a hard week. And my heart goes out to you with you losing your wife. And for anyone else that has lost someone that close to them, my heart goes out to them. And it's a hard week between the death and the funeral. There's just so many things you have to deal with. A casket, the size of the casket, the price of the casket. Who's going to pay for all this? You don't expect it from a 20-year-old kid. And it obviously was a huge shock. But anyways, then getting to the funeral, the receiving line was obviously huge, and it took a lot of time. And we had, you know, lined up as a family, and people coming in and giving their condolences. And I saw one of his friends, a couple of his friends came through first. And I looked back at that line, and there were 30 plus kids lined up. And for the life of me, I was not going to stand there and say, hey guys, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. See you later. I called that whole group of kids up, and we had a group of 30 people in a huddle, all crying, and me just breathing life into them because I knew how they felt, and I couldn't just do one at a time. So I called the whole group up, and I loved on them, and I prayed over them, and I let them know that Abe loved them, and I know you guys love Abe, and I just don't want you guys to, I want this to be, as hard as it is, it needs to be a celebration. We need to celebrate on how he breathed into each one of you, because it was a misfit group of kids that were just the shy kids and the kids that were sitting in the lunchroom by themselves. And Abe would invite them over to his group, and they just all had this. He was just a catalyst to all these, this different genre of kids coming from different backgrounds, and he just loved on him, on them, and they all loved him. And it was good to just love on them and with my family there. And so that funeral happened during COVID. There was no meal after the funeral. It was hi, thanks for coming, and bye. And that was hard. So in July, when on Abe's birthday in July, that 6 months later, 5 months later, whatever it was, we had a celebration at a local park where he and his friends would oftentimes go, and we went for birthday parties And it was healthy, I think, for them and for our family, for me to get together and remember him.
Hmm. Who was Abe? Who was Abraham Bendorf?
Father of many nations. He was the kid that would have fun, and he had fun with all these different kids. I think of all these kids as that nation and who all those kids were. He brought them into his family. He was fun. He was loving. He liked his music, and he enjoyed gaming, and he enjoyed cooking, and he would oftentimes have a meal for the group of kids, whoever was over at the house. He would make food for them. He was a fun, loving, happy, smiley guy that enjoyed life.
Hmm. What about your other kids? Tell me, who are they?
So Sam is 3 years younger than Abe, and he has a good job here. He went to West High School and is working at a local fabrication shop, Sub-Zero. He drives forklift on third shift. I was just with him and a couple of his friends last night. We went out, they were out, and he called me up and said, come on over. And I shot darts with him and his friends for about 3 hours last night. And one of the friends that he was with was Dave's son, Silas.
And Dave Bechtold, who's also here.
Yes, yep. So Sam enjoys life. He's a strong, tall young man that is my son, whom I am proud of. And then my daughter, Esther, is 17, and she loves cooking, baking. She's vegan. She's been vegan for probably 5 years, and just is a very good young lady that I'm also very proud of. And then my youngest is 14. Moses is 14, and he's a freshman at Madison West this year. So all my kids went to Madison West High School.
Hmm. I don't need to know the specifics of your marriage ending, but what's the biggest lesson that you learned about yourself in that process?
One of the biggest things that I learned was we're all individuals, and we all have to have our own identity. And I think that to let your spouse have their identity and their time, even alone and with their group of friends, is good. And it's good to have give your spouse their space to have their own identity.
Hmm. You didn't foster that, or?
I think it's something I learned later on that I should have done more of. Hmm. I think that my wife thought that she was Mark Bendorf's wife and the mother of these four kids, and she didn't have time to be herself. She's a wonderful lady, and she's done a lot of things for the community. She started a community garden. Mm-hmm. That was while we were still married. And she's also an entrepreneur and wanted to be able to have her own identity, I guess. She wanted to go to back into nursing school, and I didn't think it was that right time, and she thought it was. So she was looking for her identity, and I think that if I would have gave her more of that, that things maybe would have been different.
Hmm. So you have your own painting business. What's next for you, Mark?
That's the $1 million question. I don't know what, I asked the Lord what I am going to do for the next. I still enjoy painting and I enjoy the people that I meet doing that profession. Next, I don't know. I'm just looking and waiting on the Lord to see what that next step will be. My daughter, I've thought of, she loves baking, and I think she would be a great partner at some point in life, maybe as a baker and owning a bakery. Just one little dream that I have in the back of my head. but who knows?
Mark Bendorf, let's get to rapid fire questions.
Hey everyone, I wanted to announce that we have Holy Smokes gear. That's right, we have swag. We currently have hats, shirts, stickers, like for your vehicle or your travel humidor, magnets, even branded bourbon glasses for a limited time. Go to holysmokes.club and click on the shop tab. That's holysmokes.club. I'm super proud of the shirts. They're made with Bella Canvas shirts that are soft and incredibly comfortable. The hats fit wonderfully, which can be a problem for those of us with big noggins. We plan on having a lot more to offer, like Guayabera shirts, additional t-shirt designs, beanies, polos, hoodies, cigar accessories, and much more. Check it out. And even if you don't make a purchase now, be sure to sign up for that email list, as I've thrown a couple big discount coupon codes for those exclusively on that list. So click the shop tab at holysmokes.club. Thanks.
Rapid fire. Fire.
How's that stick treating you?
It's good. I enjoy it.
When did you first try cigars or pipe?
Probably about 4 years ago. It was right around the COVID time when Dave and another friend of ours would get together and everybody was wondering what the heck is going on with this world, and we needed friend time. Everybody was trying to stay, you know,
social distancing, locked up in their homes.
Yeah. So Dave would call up and say, let's go hang out at a friend's house. And we would hang out, and we thought we'd try cigars. Let's try smoking a cigar. And so we would set up our little stands and seats and TV trays 6 feet apart from each other. And I don't know if it was my first cigar, but it's the first I remember of getting into cigars. I had smoked cigarettes for many years and I had quit. And I thought, well, I don't know. I'm afraid that it's going to make me want to go back to smoking cigarettes. But I've never wanted a cigarette. I just enjoy the community of having a cigar. It's a time where you can just sit back and relax. There's nothing else pressing that needs to be done. You just carve out an hour or two and sit back and enjoy a cigar and a bourbon or a cigar and a beer. And so probably about, what was that, Dave? 4.5 years ago, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How'd you meet Dave?
I met Dave at City Church when our two churches merged together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was your kids' pastor.
Yes.
And Abraham was my sound man.
That's right.
In kids' church.
Yeah, and I had the privilege of Dave being the officiator of Abraham's funeral. Which had, and he, like he's saying, he knew Abe, and I can't imagine how hard that was, but it was so peaceful. I was honored to have him do the officiating.
Mm. What's your favorite cigar?
Oh, just a go-to is Nika Rustica. I enjoy that stick for sure. Couple other ones for also, but I really enjoy the Nika Rustica and a Cuban occasionally, as they might pass through wherever I'm at.
Most expensive cigar you've ever smoked? I would assume the Romeo that you mentioned in the Dave interview.
Yeah, I had that, and it's a mutual friend that Dave and I have that will share. A man with a huge heart and hospitality in his, it runs through his blood for sure.
Yeah.
And the most expensive one was through that gentleman. I actually was able to enjoy a Cohiba Bahique, which is kind of hard to get, pretty hard to get, and quite expensive.
I've got a buddy of mine in Holy Smokes in Colorado Springs, who used to work for the Department of Defense, and he's got connections, and
ooh,
I can get a box of whatever I want, and I got a box of Cohiba Bahiques.
Is that right?
They were solid.
Yeah.
I'm not one that's caught up in the mystique of the Cuban cigar, because I've found them to be good, sometimes really good.
Yeah.
But my favorites usually come out of Nicaragua.
Yeah. The Drew Estates M81 is a Nicaraguan stick, and that's powerful. They're good, too.
Nice. Where's your go-to place to get smokes?
Well, probably the majority of them that I end up getting, I get online through Cigars International. But saying that, I like to frequent a local lounge, the tasting room in Monona, Wisconsin, and I buy a lot of sticks there too.
What's your favorite liquid pairing with your smoke?
Coffee. I really do enjoy coffee with a cigar, and on an occasional tailgating party, we may mix a little Bailey's and a little bourbon in with the coffee and enjoy it like that, but I really do enjoy coffee with my cigars.
Most interesting person you've ever met through cigars?
Probably the gentleman I was referring to that had the Cohiba Bahiques. He is an influence in the financial world around here, and is just an amazing man.
What's your most memorable cigar experience?
Probably on my back deck with my two sons, my two oldest sons. It's an amazing conversation you can have with a child when you have a beer and a cigar with them. And it just is disarming where you sit and just have conversation, just ask simple questions, and the things that they'll, if I would ask my kids a question that they wouldn't want to answer or would feel funny about answering, when you've got a beer and a cigar with them, they're free and they'll tell you some stories maybe that you don't want to hear. But I enjoy having a cigar on my back deck with my kids, grilling out, having the grill going, and enjoying time with my kids.
All right, for the non-cigar questions, Marvel or DC?
Oh, I'm in the... I don't know.
Okay, like Dave. Like Dave.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite superhero growing up?
Not really.
Okay.
I like G.I. Joes.
There you go.
Which is maybe... No, that's not why I went to the Marine Corps, but I watch a show, a couple movies and stuff with my kids.
Yeah.
They know all that stuff, and I just enjoy being with them, and I don't think they're too into the Marvel or DC end of it, but we enjoy watching the Batman movies and... Superman movies, Iron Man stuff. Yeah, so I don't necessarily have a favorite brand of cartoon figure superhero.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars. I've not seen all of them. I've probably seen the first three or four multiple times. But yeah, I would say Star Wars.
Sports teams? You into sports at all?
Yeah, mostly football. I like Badger football. I enjoy
on Wisconsin, baby.
On Wisconsin, go Bucky. Like I said, growing up in the not far from Stadium. Camp Randall, I just feel like I have red and white running through my running through my blood. There's nothing like game day. The energy that is around the football when you get 80,000 fans tailgating and rooting for your team, and obviously being that close, you could hear every time there was a score or a big play or whatever. You would always hear that. Good times. And then a Packer fan also.
Which I've been to Lambeau Field 3 times. And in my opinion, that is as close to a college atmosphere as I have ever experienced anywhere.
For an NFL team,
Is that right? For an NFL game.
Yeah, the Packer Nation comes out in force for sure.
Chiefs fans do a good job of tailgating, but there's something about Lambeau and the intimacy of that. And it just...
Town.
It's special. Favorite athlete growing up?
I didn't really follow sports that much growing up. I obviously just am amazed at what Michael Jordan did in basketball. So I definitely enjoyed watching him play. I don't watch a lot of NBA by any means, but seeing him and the team that was around him, Rodman and Pippen, those guys were amazing for sure. Mark Spitz, maybe in the Olympic world of swimming, was pretty awesome too.
What kinds of music do you love?
You know, I probably mostly listen to Christian artists. I like that, but I was not a lot into music when I was younger, but when I went in the Marine Corps, my good close friend of mine, he really introduced me to a lot of the late 60s, early 70s stuff with Jimi Hendrix and the Doors and the Stones and those guys and the Beatles. I love listening to that stuff. And if nobody was listening, I'd say I also enjoy listening to some Michael Jackson. I mean, what an amazing artist that he was. So a lot of the rock and roll stuff I enjoyed. Still do.
You like to cook. What's your favorite food? To cook and to eat.
Oh, to cook and to eat. Probably.
No, separately. What's your favorite food to cook and introduce people to? Uh-huh. And then what's your favorite just to eat? If they're different.
Yeah. Well, you know, when growing up in that Platteville, I grew up in Madison, but my folks being from the Dodgeville, Mineral Point area and stuff, one of the mainstays of food was pasty.
That's my dad's favorite.
Is that crazy?
That's my dad's favorite.
Yes.
And it's always been his favorite.
So,
which would describe pasty for those that don't know what it is.
Sure. Well, Mineral Point is a town of a lot of heritage from Cornwall, England. And when they came from England back to the New World and settled in Mineral Point area to do a lot of the mining, the men would take pasties that their wives or mothers or whoever had made down into the mine shafts. So it was not easy to pack a lunch and take it with you. So a pasty was the whole lunch practically in the bag itself.
Which it's really a pie.
Right.
With like meat and potatoes and vegetables and some gravy.
No gravy though.
No?
No, that's only a Michigan thing. Can't have gravy. No, but it does make its own juice.
Yes.
Yeah. With the potato and the onion and beef, which probably was venison back in the day, but it's a lot of farmers in that area, so there was beef available too. But yeah, and all wrapped up into a pie crust, and they would have the meat, potato, and onion in this crust, and on one end they would put pie filling, fruit pie. So you would have dinner and dessert all in one, and they would just put that in their pockets and eat that whenever they were able to have a break. Good old pasty.
Nice. Dogs, cats, neither, or both?
Both. We had both growing up. We had a dog for years. Like, she was 18 years old when she died. I remember getting her as a puppy, and we had her for a long time. And there was a pet store not far from where we lived, and my sister and I would walk up to the local grocery store, and on our way up, we would have to stop in and see all the pets. And of course, we fell in love with whatever we would see. And one was a cat. And we went back and pleaded with my mom, and she sent me to Dad. And we had to get permission from Mom and Dad. And we ended up with this Siamese cat, and never got another dog growing up. But then I had a dog as an adult, too, so.
Nickname growing up or in the core?
Benny.
Benny.
Yeah, short for Bendorf, I guess.
Benny.
Yep.
What's one unusual fact that few people know about you?
Maybe that I like Michael Jackson.
Okay. All right. That'll work. Are you a reader at all?
Not a lot. Probably less than Dave even, but the most recent book that I read was, it's been a little while ago, but Tuesdays with Maury.
Yep.
It was an awesome,
by
awesome
Mitch
book.
Album, if I remember right.
Was that who interviewed him then too?
Yeah.
Yeah. What an amazing friendship that they developed, and that he saw Maury go through from when he met him until his death. It's amazing.
Do you have a life scripture?
I do. I like Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord in all you do, and lean not on your own understanding. In all you do, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Ooh. Have you or someone you deeply trust ever experienced anything unexplainable or extremely unusual? Could be something spiritually happening, could be, like I said with the Dave interview, UFOs are in the news.
Oh, I don't know. An unbelievable experience that I had when I was in the Marine Corps and I was in South Korea. We were there for Team Spirit, where the Marine Corps and the Air Force do maneuvers together with the pilots, the fighter pilots. And there was one afternoon where three fighter pilots, two had gone out and three jets came back, and one was a North Korean fighter pilot defected. I don't know if that's part of the question or not, but that was a pretty wild thing to see and have happen. We were under a lot of distress at that point, but it was a very awe-inspiring thing to know that that pilot had defected and left his family behind to fight for freedom, I guess.
Weren't you near a bombing?
Yeah. My buddy Tim and I were in Hiroshima one evening, and when we were walking back to the train station from downtown, there was I don't remember how many stories, it was multiple story building exploded about two blocks from where we were. And we ran over to where it was. We were the first people to be there. And we carried bodies out of the rubble. And then the fire department, police, everybody showed up, and we got thrown in the Japanese jail because they thought that we did it. So that was a wild night.
Wow. What are three things you are thankful for at this time in your life?
I'm thankful for my kids, for the love that they show me as imperfect of a man that I am. We come together as a family, and I appreciate my children. I appreciate my friends who I say have a corner of my mat. And when I'm at my deepest and lowest times, I can call on them. I can tell them my hurts and my sorrows. And they're there not to judge me, but to lift me up. And then I guess I'm thankful. I don't guess. I am thankful for my parents, for what my mom did for me and all my friends. They're just full of hospitality. Always would have food on the table and to share, and cookies in the freezer or on the table to ready. You know, if I'd come over with a handful of friends, she would always have something there for them to eat and would welcome them in. And my dad, being able to, we did not have a lot of money, but I didn't know it. We always had food on the table for ourselves and for others. And he was a good provider and a hard worker, and he instilled that in me. So I appreciate my folks, my kids, and my friends.
If you could be any animal, what would you be?
Oh, man. I wouldn't mind being a dog, I guess. I love my dog. The dogs are part of the family, and people love on them. So, yeah, I would not mind being a dog.
Are you an early riser, a night owl, or normal?
Normal, huh? Most of the time, an early riser. Yeah. I like getting up in the morning, enjoying a cup of coffee, doing a little reading. I try to read through the Bible every year, and I like that quiet time. So I like to get up early in the morning, but not too early.
What's your greatest strength, and what's your greatest weakness?
I think I'm a good encourager. Ooh. I like to encourage people.
That's a good gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is.
I enjoy pouring life into people. Not even just at their weakest moments, but just as they're going through life and helping them through. You know, times when they're just, let's go out and grab something to eat, or let me tell you how that happened in my life, and let me relate to you a little bit, but just encouraging people. And weakness would be commitments. It's hard for me to make a strong commitment in just even life in general. I like to be able to be open and free to do things as they come up. Mm-hmm. So it makes it hard for me to make a commitment.
Who's the first person you think of when you hear the word successful? Because that could be your definition of success could be very different than the world's.
Right, right. A lot of my friends, I believe, are successful. I believe Dave is successful. And that's because of the lifestyle that he has. I just know that he enjoys life. I think the head pastor of our church, I think of him as being successful in following what the Lord has led him to do. I think of another one of my friends that has an amazing job. It travels a lot, gets to travel on private jets and that kind of stuff, and that seems cool. And I know he's successful, and I know he loves the Lord too.
What do you do for self-care, to rest, to recharge?
This.
Cigars, baby.
I like hanging out with my friends. I enjoy a good cigar, cup of coffee, and in smaller, more intimate groups, and even one-on-ones, it charges my batteries. And then I also need that time to totally recharge just at the end of the day, just and sit and relax. I'll watch a show maybe with one of my kids, and that definitely recharges my batteries too.
How do you want to be remembered, Mark?
As someone that enjoyed life, as someone that patterned his life like Jesus, I want to be remembered as from my kids saying, my dad taught me how to love the Lord. My dad walked the walk, not just talked the talk, but he loved the Lord.
Last three questions. What does Holy Smokes mean to you, and how has it contributed to your spiritual journey?
Oh, man. Holy Smokes is...
And I love the way Wisconsinites say it. Holy smokes.
Holy smokes, man.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Right, right. Yeah. Holy smokes is a good time to breathe the Bible into people that don't get churched. And not even that don't get churched, but that, like I had kind of said before about how people, some people haven't given up on God, but they've given up on church. And to be able to meet people at their level, at their happy place, it's like they're disarmed. It's like, I'm not going to a church, but I can still listen to hear the Bible and how Jesus has, the way Dave presents the Bible is so disarming.
Mm.
And it's just love that Jesus showed. And Holy Smokes shows that love.
If you could have a Holy Smoke with any three people throughout history, living or deceased, who would they be? Can't name Jesus.
I was able to have a smoke with my son Abraham.
Mm.
But I would love...
Another one?
To have another one with him.
Yeah.
I was waiting until he turned 21 to take him to the tasting room and have a smoke and a bourbon with him. So he would definitely be at the number top one of my list. Yeah. And my son Sam just turned 21, and I was in January, and I was able to do that with him. And it was a very special time, very special time. Another one would be, and who would also be a sports figure that I thought was amazing, would be, I'd love to sit down and have a cigar with Reggie White.
Oh,
what an amazing man.
I met him.
Did you really?
Yeah, he came after he retired, or was it released by the Packers? I don't remember which. He and his family came to Focus.
Oh.
And
he loved the Lord.
He signed a football for me. He signed a book.
Mm.
And while he was busy signing that stuff, I showed his wife, Sarah, and his daughter, Jacolia, around Focus Broadcasting. And I took them around.
Is that right?
And Jeremy, his son, was in my office doing homeschool work because he had homeschool work he needed to do. And
so
it was incredible. And just listening to him tell his story with Doc interviewing him. It's definitely, I've got a picture of me standing with him and the family as well. It's a very special memory because when he died, it broke my heart because I felt like there was so much more for him to do in life. When I would hear interviews of him in his post-retirement life, it was like he was discovering new depth of God that
through Hebrew. He was a student in Hebrew. And he just was.
And it was just opening up. Mm-hmm. And he was getting this perspective that was like, oh, I wonder what he could have done if he didn't die the way he would from sleep apnea.
Yeah. And a third is, man, I live a rich life, and my third would just be my pals. I just enjoy having a cigar with Dave. I enjoy cigars with the whole, we call it the Memphis crew. We all took a trip to Memphis, Tennessee a year ago. And any one of those guys would be on the top of my list to have a cigar with anytime.
Last question. If we're to meet a year from today and I have some fresh grounds from Colectivo here in town and we're sitting down, what are we celebrating?
Life. Good times. I don't know. It may sound so simple, but just enjoying life and how, what Christ did for us by dying on the cross and just being able to live a simple life, but enjoying as much of it as we can. So I'd just say just life in general.
Mark Bendorf, Holy Smokes, Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being on the Holy Smokes podcast, my man.
Thank you, Steve.